Fantastic. Good morning, everybody. Glad to see you. Don't you just love hitting that high note at the end of that song? I know I do. I really look forward to that. I mean, that's just a thrilling song of praise. It's just such a majestic song. To the Smiths, to Cameron and Susan, welcome. Glad to have you as part of our church family. And to Chris and Wren and their baptisms this morning, our congratulations to them. And to you, glad to have you with us today. If you are a guest, a particular word of welcome to you as well. You see up here on the stage a little prop that we've had up here for the last several weeks, a boxing ring, because we're in a message series right now called Great Church Fights, taken from the first few chapters of the New Testament book called 1 Corinthians, written to a real group of people in a real place with real questions in real situations. Now, I'm not telling you anything you don't know when I tell you that we live in an age of profound and abundant conflict. One major corporate chairman said this: "Every year, I give my legal department an almost unlimited budget, and every year, they exceed it." You may not be looking for conflict, but conflict will find you. And it found the church in Corinth. And you might say, oh, but churches should be exempt. They're not. Why? Because we're still people. Yes, we're redeemed. Yes, we're saved. Yes, we're forgiven. Yes, we have the Holy Spirit. But there is within me and there is within you a residue of our old nature. Not only that, we feel strongly and passionately about good things. Good things. I mean, church life is about, you know, having two bodies and one heart. You just have so many resources, and they go into missions, they go into local ministry, and you have so many tensions that can't be solved. They just have to be managed. You just live with them. It's just a fact of life. And in Corinth, you've got real people, real places, real situations, real questions, and it's a church with a lot of noise going on, a lot of conflict. And Paul writes them, listen, because he has high hopes. He has high hopes for them as he's looking beyond the conflict to their possibilities. Now, the title of today's message is this: No Ordinary People. If I had to give it a subtitle, it would be this: How to Be a Really Good Church Member. By the way, if you move away from here and you move to another city, to another place, one of the things that I usually ask people to do is that when you move and you go somewhere, when you decide where you're going to go to church, if you would, let me know that church, and I like to send a letter. And the highest compliment I can give to anybody is, that person's a really good church member. And this is what I mean by that. That's a person, thank you, Troy, that is a person who loves Jesus and they love the body of Christ. You can count on that person. They're a pillar person. There's somebody, that's a person who's going to be a player. You can count on them. Well, and so that would be the subtitle to today's message, all right? We're going to walk through a section of Scripture, 1 Corinthians, latter part of chapter 3 and chapter 4. And I've got 6 points, but we'll move quickly and briskly. Here we go. Here's the first one. Treat our church as no ordinary group. No ordinary group. Look around for a moment, would you? I got to tell you, folks, this is no ordinary group. And this is what I mean. 1 Corinthians 3, verse 16. Don't you know that you yourselves are God's temple and that God's Spirit dwells in your midst? And if anyone destroys God's temple, God will destroy that person. For God's temple is sacred and you together are the temple. You may have heard before that your physical body is the temple of the Holy Spirit. Paul will talk about that in 1 Corinthians 6. But right here he says, you together are God's temple. You are. In the Old Testament, you wanted to go into the presence of God. Where would you go? Into the temple. And here's a photo, or rather a depiction of what the temple would have looked like in Jerusalem. And get this, when Paul's writing these words, that temple is still standing. He says, but you want to go into God's presence today? You don't go there, you go here. But wait a minute, this is an ordinary group. You know, you got my Uncle Harold and cousin, you know, what's her name? And I mean, we're, you know, the church is full of weird people. It is, starting with you and me. This is no ordinary group right here. These are no ordinary people. This is the temple of God. You do know, don't you, that Jesus said, whatever you do to the least of these brothers or sisters, you do to whom? You do to me. You remember when the Apostle Paul, before he was the Apostle Paul, he was Saul. What was he doing? He was persecuting the church. And do you remember when Jesus appeared to him, what did Jesus say? Saul, Saul, why do you persecute me? Well, I'm not persecuting you. I'm persecuting that group. No, you, whatever you do to them, you attack them, you attack me. You bless them, you bless me. My people and I are together. You know, my wife and I were sitting out here together. Honey, just wave at me, would you? There she is. Can you imagine saying to me, hey, Ronnie, I want you to come over for lunch today, but don't bring that wife of yours. You know, a lot of people do that. Oh, I love Jesus, but, you know, but not the church. And the Lord is strong here. He says, you destroy the church. I pay attention to that. You go around trying to seduce a sister in Christ, that's serious business. You go around gossiping about a brother in Christ, that is serious business. And I pay attention. How to be a really good church member? First of all, you acknowledge this is no ordinary group. This is the temple of God. Secondly, you love our church by pledging your allegiance to Jesus. Pledging your allegiance to Jesus. Because in Corinth, they were having, you know, trouble with a lot of fan clubs. Here's what he has to say, verse 21. So then, no more boasting about human leaders. No more, you know, I'm into this group or I'm into that. No more of that. All things are yours. Every Sunday school class is yours. Every small group is yours. Whether Paul or Apollos or Cephas, no more of this. Well, I'll listen to Paul, but I'm not going to pay any attention to Apollos. None of that. No more of that. Whether Apollos or Cephas or Paul or the world, life or the present, the future, you are of Christ, and Christ is of God. No more pledging your allegiance to Paul or Apollos. Remember earlier he said, was Paul crucified for you? Answer, no. Were you baptized into the name of Apollos? Answer, no. Okay, let me put a photo up here on the screen, shall we? A vile food. There it is. It's my opinion. Now, let me ask you a question. How many of you, I'm going to ask, how many of you really, really like tomatoes? And then I'm going to ask you, how many of you are sort of ambivalent so-so on tomatoes? And then I'm going to ask you, how many of you wisely reject tomatoes? All right? So those are my three. All right, first of all, how many of you, I mean, you really love tomatoes? I mean, like, fresh tomatoes? That is so disappointing. That is so disappointing. How many of you are marginal on tomatoes? You're just marginal. Okay. How many of you view a tomato as a vile food? There we go. Yeah. Listen, gang, you ready? This church is hopelessly divided and fractured. It is. This church is hopelessly divided and fractured. Get this. If we operate by our tastes. Your tastes aren't bad. They make us a wonderful, flavorful, varied group. But if we operate by our taste, we're going to have little groups going, well, I'm a Paul. Well, I really like, you know, Cephas. He's the blue-collar guy. I like Apollos. He, you know, he's the PhD. No, no more of that. We hold up one flag, and it's Jesus Christ. And that's where, and that way, any potential form of conflict, and, you know, unity is not the absence of conflict. Unity is where we have a reconciling spirit. We're looking to work through, and we start from a common foundation, which is our salvation and relationship in Jesus. Number three, how to be a really good church member. You see yourself as a servant and a steward. 1 Corinthians 4, starting verse 1. This then is how you ought to regard us, as servants of Christ and as those entrusted with the mysteries that God has revealed. And now it is required that those who've been given a trust must prove faithful. You know, there are a lot of people who go to a church and they want to be a superstar. There are no superstars in churches. There are only servants and stewards. Now, I have an idea that this morning nobody opened up a newspaper and said, let me look in the want ads for the job, for the task of servant, slave, under rower. But that's what we are. The longest tenured elder in this church is a servant. And we're all stewards. You know what a steward is? A steward is somebody who takes the resources of another and manages them well. And as you look at the church, I love you. You love me. We love each other. We love our church. You need to call it our church. This is our church. We're part of this. You're my brother. You're my sister. But it doesn't belong to me, and it doesn't belong to you. It doesn't belong to you. It belongs to Jesus. And all we are servants and stewards of the opportunities and the possibilities here. Number four, pay little attention to the court of human opinion. You do know that everybody's got an opinion, don't you? And if you get five Christians together, how many opinions do you have? Answer, about 20. Here's what Paul says. I care very little if I am judged by you or by any human court. Indeed, I don't even judge myself. My conscience is clear. But that doesn't make me innocent. It's the Lord who judges me. Therefore, judge nothing before the appointed time. Wait until the Lord comes. He'll bring to light what is hidden in darkness. He will expose the motives of the heart. And at that time, each will receive their praise from God. Paul makes it clear that he doesn't get all caught up in human debates about, oh, who's the strongest believer? What's the best group? What's the best class? What's the best church? He didn't get caught up in that. Because you know and I know, there are going to be people, no matter what you do, they're going to pat you on the back. And no matter what you do, they're not going to pat you on the back. And he says, you do not want to go through your life being driven by human feedback. You need to listen to it. You need to weigh it. You need to be open to it. You need to invite it. You need to ask the Holy Spirit to clarify when God's trying to bring something to your attention. But if you go through your life trying to be a crowd pleaser, that is a miserable way to live. You have an ultimate judge, and it is Jesus. So let go this court of human opinion thing. And pay very little attention to that. We're servants. We're stewards. We work for Jesus. And that sounds simple, but sometimes it gets forgotten. Point number five. Keep Scripture in its proper place, which is front and center. He says, now, brothers and sisters, verse 6, I have applied these things to myself and to Apollos for your benefit, so that you may learn from us the meaning of the saying, do not go beyond what is written. Then you will not be puffed up in being a follower of one of us over against the other. He says Scripture is our highest and final authority. It is the means by which we judge anything. And if we go beyond what is written, that means we're elevating someone, some person, over Scripture. Now, gang, there are things here that I don't like, and I'll have to change my mind. There are things in the Bible I don't understand, and I'll simply need to trust and obey and believe that God will clarify down the line. But Scripture is the highest authority, and he says, don't go beyond what is written. And so as a church here, that's why we pay attention to the Bible. And I would urge you to pay fresh attention to the Bible, to stay a student of Scripture. Go in classes. Listen to it online. When you're on your treadmill, listen to Bible studies. That's fantastic. That's wonderful. Keep feeding your heart and mind the Word of God. Last of all, number six, love one another enough to really join the family. To start treating your church not like a cynic and not as a critic and not as a consumer, but rather as a family member. And you know how you treat your family. You look at your family and you know them, and they got flaws, and you know they got flaws, but you don't stiff arm them. You don't stand over here at the sidelines. You get involved. If you're a parent, you try to father that person. Or if you're a mom, you try to mother that person. If you're a brother or sister, you try to help that person. You don't stand over here and throw. You get in there. You acknowledge weaknesses, but you try to shore them up because you're a part of the family. Here's what Paul says. He says, I'm writing this not to shame you. He says, yeah, you've been a royal pain. But I'm not writing this to shame you, but to warn you as my dear children, even if you had 10,000 guardians in Christ, you don't have many fathers. For in Christ Jesus, I became your father through the gospel. Isn't it interesting that in the Bible, how often familial family language is used to describe the church? How many dads are in this room? Did you raise your hand? When do you stop being a dad? My kids are 28 and 27. I am for them. I am a huge fan of Mary Beth Davis. I am a huge fan of Ryan Norman. And I will see them through. I will see them through to the duration. I'm never going to stand at the sideline and be a cynic or a critic or a consumer. I'm going to be their dad. I'm going to be in that family. And if I see something that needs to be addressed, I'll do it in love, but I'm going to help them. I am for them. I am with them. You know what? I've got two sisters. I've got one sister who's really, really sick right now, but I am for them. And I'm not going away, and I'm not going to leave her high and dry. When I was born, my older sisters couldn't say, too ugly, send him back. I was in the family. You remember the story of Derek Redmond? Derek Redmond was in the 1992 Barcelona Olympics. He was favored to win a medal, and he rips a hamstring halfway through one of his favored races. And something amazing happened. His father didn't stay in the cheap seats. His father came down and came right along beside him. I want you to watch this. Pay attention to this, would you? Paul says, that's the way I feel about you. I'm not over here at the side like some cynic or critic or consumer. I'm a part of this. I'm a part of this family. And I treat you like a father or like a brother or like a mother or like a sister. And he says, verse 16, therefore, I urge you to imitate me. And for this reason, I'm going to keep sending you Timothy, my son whom I love. He's faithful in the Lord. He's going to remind you of my way of life in Christ Jesus, which agrees with what I teach everywhere. And then he says, some of you, though, have become arrogant. All right, I need to finish up, but let me tell you. I've played a little sports in my day. Let me tell you the easiest position I have ever played. You ready? Here it is. Armchair quarterback. That's easy. Paul says to Corinth, you know, some of you are arrogant. You're over here going, well, I'll tell you what I do. And I'll tell you, you know. He said, you don't have any kind of game. You know, what are you talking? Who said you get to stand over at the side and be the consumer and the critic and tell everybody else what they ought to be doing? Put on your own suit. Lace up your own shoes. The hard thing to do is to become a servant and to become a steward and to become a family member and to say, you can count on me and I'm a part of this. And yeah, I'll see a weakness, but I'm going to shore it up as a father, as a mother, as a brother or a sister. And he says, some of you are arrogant. You're all talk. You're like this guy. All talk, no game. How to be a really good church member? Here's what you do. You look around and you realize this is no ordinary group. Secondly, you love your church by pledging your allegiance to Jesus. You see yourself as a servant and as a steward. There are no superstars. You pay little attention to the court of human opinion. You keep Scripture front and center. And you love each other enough to really join the family. Some of you may be here today, and you know what? You're not yet a Christian. And here's what you need to do. You need to give your life to Jesus Christ. Jesus Christ is the Son of God. He lived a sinless life. He went to the cross for you and for me. He died a sacrificial death, and he invites you to place your trust in him, to repent of your sins, to be baptized in his name, to become a Christian. If you're here today and you've been an irresponsible believer, you've been a consumer and a cynic, and it's time to repent of that, and it's time to become a player and a family member, this is a great day to do that. If you're here today and actually you're faithfully serving the Lord, thank God for his grace. Thank God for that mindset. Thank God for the people who've encouraged you to do that. That's a good place to be. All of us have business to do with God. And he is a merciful God. He loves us. He invites us to take our next step as a servant, as a steward, as a family member, as a follower of Jesus Christ. All right? Why don't you take out your order of worship? You have a communication card there. You can fill it out. You can write out a prayer request. And this is also an easy way for you to communicate that I'm ready to be baptized. I want to talk with somebody about being a part of this church. Or I'd like to speak with one of the leaders in this church about my spiritual life. This is an easy way to communicate that. So why don't you fill out that card when it's done? If you want to, fold it up, pass it to the ends of the aisles, and they will be collected at the close of our service. And what we're going to do right now, we're going to pray. Let me ask our elder couples to be making their way down front, and we're going to take a moment to pray. You can pray right where you are, but you are certainly invited to come down here and pray with one of our elder couples. We would love to bless you, love to hear from you, love to pray with you. All right, let's stand together, please, and let's sing and let's pray.